Just want to encourage you, if this is random for you or coincidence for you or just sort of, you know, an accident that you're here today, don't let it be. Commit the month of January to the house of God, to the family of God. Come on, be with us. Put it on your phone, reminder, whatever you need to get here. Get here on Sundays. Make it the one thing that you make sure that you do in January, and celebrate the year with us at Promised Land. We wanna be there for you, especially if there's any Cowboy fans. I'm a Cowboy fan too, so I'm talking to myself. Hey, but we have a Texas team that won yesterday, so we're still. Convert. You can claim the text. No, you can't. Okay. I know we have two Patriot fans in the church, at least two, and we should pray for them, because it's over. That's all I gotta say. It's over. So I digress so fast. You know, we get so distracted over the year. We have so many things flying at us at a fast pace. The news is coming at us all the time, and there's going to be an election this year. There's going to be things happen at work this year. Some of you are going to be graduating this year. Some of you are going to get married this year, have kids this year. There's going to be difficult things that happen in 2020. So anyway, there's just so many different things that happen throughout the course of a year that cause us to have a distracted focus. And there's so many of us that think we can multitask with things in the kitchen, or, you know, things at school or at work. You got seven different windows open on your computer, and you're trying to do all the different things all at the same time. Or, you know, and science has shown there's really no one can multitask well. You're doing one thing, and then you're doing another thing. You can do many things all at the same time. You think you can do them well, but you just can't. We're distracted, and it affects so many areas of our life. In fact, this past year, almost 15,000 people died on the roads because of distracted driving, whether it was a cell phone, whether it was under the influence of alcohol or drugs or whatever. And the crazy thing is, 100% of those are preventable. It's not like they had a blowout, or, you know, an animal ran across the street, or whatever happened. It's just somebody chose to multitask. So, if nothing else, put your cell phone away in 2020. Come on, preach it, preacher. That's a good. Amen. Your vision, or lack thereof, is super important. Distracted or focused, your ability to see clearly matters. And here's the first thing I want to drop on you. Your vision is a choice. The vision that you have in your life is a choice. Now, your eyesight is not a choice, but your vision is a choice. When I turned 30, my eyes began to fade, and I had to get glasses. And then when I turned 40, I had to get bifocals. You can't see them right now, but I have little contact lenses in with little bifocals in there. So I can see you, and I can see the text. That's eyesight. And that is not something that we have the ability to tweak or change with ourselves. We have to add things to our eyes. We have to have surgery or whatever. But vision is something that's different from eyesight. And a great example of this is Mason Murphy. Many of y'all know Mason Murphy, a great, great part of our church, a great man in our church, a member of our church. There's a picture of Mason in case you don't know him. He's a man right here on the front left, with the shades and the little top hat on. And he was serving out in the front as you came in. In fact, he's standing back there looking good. Yeah, Mason, what's up? Mason was born 14 weeks premature, which is a lot, right? You're supposed to go to 40 weeks. He was born at 26 weeks, and they had this little tiny Mason, and they put him in the isolette. This was back before they had it perfected, and they didn't protect him well, and his entire body was burned severely. And he had 17 blood transfusions. He had he was burned from the top of his head to the sole of his feet. He lost vision completely in one eye, and this other eye has 20% eyesight. 20% eyesight in one, 0% eyesight in the other. And he is a perfect example of someone that has bad eyesight, great vision. He could have made excuses. He could have been a victim. He could have had all kind of problems, but he has two master's degrees. He works at Texas State. He's working on his PhD right now. Traveled the world by himself. Went to Singapore by himself. This is a picture of us in Israel together. And we had such an incredible time over there. One of the things that he does is he serves on our hospitality team. And we joke about this all the time. A couple years back, somebody wasn't quite sure about his capacity. And they put him out in the parking lot to wave at people. And people thought he was directing traffic, and he couldn't see what he was doing. And he was just waving at everybody as they were driving up, and they were trying to figure out which way they were supposed to go in. I don't think we had any wrecks, but it was close. He's like, Mason, come on in closer. Come on in. Come on in. Anyway, poor eyesight, great vision. That's a choice that he's made and he keeps making on a daily basis. So my question for you is, what kind of vision do you have? You know, I don't need to know what eyesight you have, but what is your vision, which is how you see the world? How do you see your life? How do you envision your future? How do you look at your present or your past? So I want everybody to walk into the year 2020 with great vision towards their being, their present, their past, and their future. Jesus said it like this in Luke 11 chapter in the 33rd verse. No one lights a lamp and then hides it or puts it under a basket. Instead, a lamp is placed on a stand where its light can be seen by all who enter the house. What he's saying is that the lamp is super important, and you would never light it and then hide it. If that was the case, you just wouldn't light it, right? And so in this day and time when they're living, there is no light pollution. There's not a lot of things happening, neon signs and traffic lights and high rises and all that. No, it's super, super dark. And in their little house or cave or wherever they were, if they would light a lamp, everything would light up. The whole house would light up. And so he says, you know, lamps are so important. They illuminate the darkness. And look what he says. Your eye is like a lamp that provides light for your whole body. When your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light. When it is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. What he's talking about here is not your eyesight. He's not talking about your physical eye. He's talking about your vision. Your vision is so important. And he would never say this if it didn't matter, right? So this matters. And the reason why it matters is because we choose our vision. And he's saying you can choose to darken the vision of your life and your whole body would be filled with darkness, or you can choose a healthy eye. And everywhere you read this, it's a singular eye. Your eye is healthy, your whole body is filled with light, but when it is unhealthy, your body is filled with darkness. So what does that mean? What does a healthy vision mean? What does a healthy way of looking at your life mean? Because we want that. We want to have a eye, a vision that fills us all with light. We don't want to be in darkness. The King James Version of the Bible, that verse reads like this: therefore, when thine eye is single, when thy eye is single, thy whole body also is full of light. But when thy eye is evil, single or evil, what eye do you have? Well, I'm glad you came to the spiritual ophthalmologist today. Is your vision single? Is it healthy? Or is it evil, full of darkness? The Greek word for single is hapless, which literally means not complex, but simple and single as to purpose. So your purpose is single. Think about it like this. If you're driving down the road at night in your car and you have one headlight that's pointing straight sideways like this, and you have one headlight that's pointing straight up, and you're trying to go this way. Well, you can look over here and see the deer and the rabbits and all that kind of stuff, and you can look up and see the stars and the birds that are flying and whatever's up above. But what about where you're trying to go? That's what Jesus is saying. Some of y'all are so distracted because you're looking this way and you're looking that way. And I got to do this and I got to do that. And I got to make sure the family's okay and the job's okay and the church is okay. And I got to make sure the political things are just like this. And you're looking all over the place. And slowly but surely, because you're so distracted, your body is getting dark instead of being filled with light, of being filled with light. So when your vision is single, your life is healthy. It's filled with light. When your vision, think of both headlights pointing in the same direction. That's what we want. We want both of our headlights pointing in the same direction. We want singular vision. We want to be going forward, and we want the lamps to be pointing where we're going. We want our vision to be single. When our vision is not single, our life is unhealthy, filled with evil and darkness. So that's what we want, 2020. We want 2020 vision, the year 2020. We want spiritual 2020 vision to be perfect, not distracted, not splintered. We want to be laser focused so that our whole being is filled with light and not darkness. I know I'm going over this over and over, the same thing. I just want to make sure you get this. Have you gotten it yet? Can we check that off the list? Are we ready to move on to the next thing? So what could it be that Jesus was talking about? He mentions this concept in the book of Luke, the 11th chapter. He also talks about it in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. And so when we look at it in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter, we know that's the Sermon on the Mount, the most important sermon in the history of the world. So he's mentioning it, the most important sermon he ever preaches, and he's telling us we got to have focus that is singular, an eye that is singular, simple, not complex, not diffracted, not distracted, but simple and singular. And then he goes on to talk about how it could be distracted. Like, you could be focused on what you're going to wear. You could be focused on what you're going to eat. You could be focused on, am I going to make the rent this month? You could be focused on, am I going to pass the final? All of these are vital things, right? Yeah. Am I going to make it this year? Oh, man. Next week, I got this coming up. Next month, I got to make this decision. Oh, that 6 months from now, you just start thinking about the future. Ah, it's so heavy. And so this is what Jesus says. You should read this chapter 6. He says, don't worry about what you're going to eat. God gives the birds something to eat. If God gives the birds something to eat, he's going to give you something to eat. You don't have to put your focus on what you're going to eat. You don't have to put your focus on what you're going to wear. The flowers of the field are more beautifully adorned than Solomon in all of his glory. And so if God's going to make flowers pretty, he's going to make you pretty too. You don't have to worry about that. Don't get your focus on what you're going to wear. what you're going to eat. Don't get your focus on tomorrow. That's heavy. Tomorrow's heavy. Jesus says you don't need to put your focus on that. It's got so many things to worry about. All you have is today, right here, right now. So what's the focus going to be? He says it in Matthew 6, 33. But seek first the kingdom of God. Jesus is saying you need to have singular focus on the kingdom of God. And if you will put your focus on the kingdom of God, your body, your being will be filled with light. Look what it says. It says, all of these things will be added to you. What you're going to wear, what you're going to eat, comfortable life, strong life, peace, satisfaction, no fear, all the things that we're trying to accomplish in life, status at work, graduation, blah, 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 all these great things that can get us so distracted. He says, if you'll put your focus on the kingdom and his righteousness, all those things that are so distracting, he will add them to you. He will add them to you. And he's probably going to leave a few things out that you really don't need. You think you need them, but you really don't. The kingdom of God. Our single vision should be the kingdom. Okay, Pastor, thank you. If you're like me, though, you say, well, what's the kingdom? That's a very churchy word, isn't it? And I want to help all of you that don't understand what the kingdom is. I don't want to send you out here going, well, I gotta be focused on the kingdom. I guess that means heaven. That's what the people in the Bible thought too. And they were thinking, well, the kingdom is heaven. That's some location in a galaxy far, far away. And Jesus said, no, it's not. It's actually right here. The kingdom is at hand right here, right now. Oh, so it's not heaven as something far, far away. That's not what we're focused on. So what is the kingdom? Was the kingdom churchy stuff? Like, is it going to church? Is it reading the Bible? Is it giving money to the church? Is it serving at the church? Is it all these habits and rituals and practices and things that we do? Is that the kingdom? Because that's what we can think. We can think, well, I just got to be more churchy. I got to put my focus on just being more, a better member of the church. That's not the kingdom either. Okay, what is the kingdom? How does this work? Well, there's a video I want to show you right now that explains it. It's so simple and so clearly. Let's check this video out.
So in the Bible, the ideas of heaven and earth are ways of talking about God's space and our space.
So I understand our space really well. We live here, streets, rivers, mountains. But my understanding of God's space gets a little fuzzy.
And what we do get in the Bible are images trying to help us grasp God's space, which is basically inconceivable to us.
So these are two very different types of spaces.
Yes, they're different in their nature, but here's what's really interesting. In the Bible, these are not always separate spaces. So think of heaven and earth as like different dimensions that can overlap in the same exact space.
So we talk a lot about going to heaven after we die, but this idea of heaven and earth overlapping, we don't talk a lot about that.
Which is kind of crazy because the union of heaven and earth is what the story of the Bible is all about. How they were once fully united and then driven this was developed through animal sacrifice.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. What do animal sacrifices have to do with this?
Yeah, the idea is this. Animal sacrifices, somehow they absorb the sin when the animal dies in your place. And it creates a clean space, so to speak, where you are now free to enter the temple and be in God's presence.
Okay, so I'm an Israelite and I live in Jerusalem, I might be able to be in God's presence. But you said the story of the Bible is all of heaven and earth reunited.
Right, so we have to keep going in the story when we come to Jesus in the New Testament. And in the Gospel of John, we hear this claim that God became human in Jesus and made his dwelling among us. Now this word dwelling is really curious. Literally it means he set up a tabernacle among us. And so what John is claiming right here is that Jesus is a temple. He is now the place where heaven and earth will lie.
What's interesting about Jesus is that he isn't staying in this safe, clean space. He's running around hanging out with sinners. He's healing people of their sicknesses and forgiving people of their sins.
He's basically creating little pockets of heaven where people can be in God's presence, but he's doing it out there in the middle of the world of sin and death.
And he keeps telling everyone the kingdom of heaven.
And he even told his followers to pray regularly that God's kingdom come and that his will be done here on earth, just as it is in heaven.
But a lot of people are threatened by Jesus and they don't, which seems to spoil this whole plan to reunite him.
But we have to go back to the scene earlier on in Jesus' story where John the Baptist saw Jesus and said, "Behold, this is the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world."
So Jesus isn't just talking about as being the temple, he's also talked about as being the temple sacrifice.
Yeah, so the cross is now the place where Jesus absorbed sin to create a clean space that is not limited by animal sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice has the power to keep spreading and spreading, reuniting more and more heaven and earth.
And this is all really great, but it leaves one big question I have, which is, what happens when I die? Don't I just fly over to God's face to be with Jesus?
Yeah, so a few times in the New Testament, we learn Christians will be with Jesus in heaven after they die, but that is not the focus of the Bible story. The focus is on how heaven and earth are being reunited through Jesus and will be completely brought together one day when he returns. So in the book of Revelation, we get this beautiful image of the Garden of Eden, now in the form of a city, coming to end the age of sin and death by redeeming all of human history in a renewed creation. And God's space and human space completely overlap once again.
Okay, you can cut it right there. How many of y'all wish you'd have seen that like 10 years ago? What a great video. We're going to post that online so you can see it. We'll put the captions also so that you can read it and just let it sink in. You know, watch it several times. But here's what it's saying, and this is what the Bible says from the beginning to the end. The kingdom is the overlap. The kingdom of God is where heaven and earth are together. And that's why Jesus said, when I am here and I am with you, the kingdom is not somewhere a long, far off place. The kingdom is here at hand. And so this is what he is teaching us when he says your vision has to be singular. This is what he's talking about. Your vision is on the kingdom. If you will only focus on how your Monday, wake up tomorrow, and this is your vision for tomorrow when you wake up. When you wake up tomorrow, the single laser focus is how can I live in the overlap today? How can I be Jesus to every situation that I get in? Jesus said we would be the salt, we would be the light of the earth. We would be the light. Not some light that we generate, but instead the light of Jesus. We are Christ-like. We are Christians. We bring Christ into the darkness wherever we go. So instead of trying to focus on making this part right and making this part right, remember that sphere that we live is in the ugly side, the sinful side. That's where we live. And our inclination is to try to solve the sin and figure it out and overcome it. So I'm going to make more money. I'm going to get smarter. I'm going to be more charismatic. I'm going to make people like me finally. I'm going to work, and try to solve the sin sphere so that I can have peace in my life. And what happens is, I solve this problem over here, then I solve this problem over there, then that one's bad again. I'm trying to do all these things, and that's the distracted vision that God says, actually, it's not light at all. But if you would focus on the overlap and the fact that Jesus Christ has already conquered sin, how can I go into work today? Or how can I go into this conversation with my spouse today? Or how can I go into this issue in the neighborhood or at the school and say, Lord, my focus is that when I send this text or I make this phone call or I have this conversation or I sit down to take this test, that, Lord, you would be in this moment, that heaven and earth would come together, that wherever I go, Lord, that this would be your kingdom. I wouldn't be doing this by myself, but I would be with you. So I know that may sound a little different, that may sound a little complicated, and is completely against our natural way of doing things. But look what Jesus says in Luke 11:35. This is the very next verse. He says, make sure. That's heavy, right? Jesus is saying, make sure that the light you think you have is not actually darkness. What would that mean? Well, we think we're doing well, but we're not really in the light. We've just found an earthly way to distract us, or we've found a way to make us forget about our problem, or we've found a way to delay the problem, and we really haven't been living in the light. We've just found a human way to numb the pain or forget about the pain or whatever. And I'm here to tell you today, that's not why Jesus came. Jesus didn't come so you could just have delayed pain. He came to heal you and strengthen you. And so he says, make sure. That means we have a choice and our vision. If he could have said, just don't worry about it, you have no part to play in this, just live life. But he didn't say that. He said, every single one of us in here today, everybody watching online here today, has a choice about your vision. Make sure if you are filled with light, with no dark corners, then your whole life will be radiant, as though a floodlight were filling you with light. So we have a bunch of people in here today, including myself, all the staff and pastors and elders and leaders and group leaders and all the people at Promised Land, even if you walked in here for the first time, we're all going to the spiritual vision doctor today. And they're putting that test on us. And it's going to take a little bit of time for you to figure this out. This is not like I'm going to wave a magic wand over you and you're like, duh, I could see now. This is not that type of thing. What Jesus leads us to do is to pray about it, to fast, to read scripture. And what those spiritual disciplines do is they help us decide and realize and figure out, what is our vision? Is our vision really on the kingdom, or is our vision on ourselves? is there anything in my life that I'm depending on that's not Jesus? Are there good things in my life that I depend on besides Jesus? Are there bad things in my life that I may depend on besides Jesus? And how do we know that? Well, we're going to go through a process through this month. And that's why I really want to encourage everybody to walk with us and through the month of January. And here's my prayer and belief. We all walk through this in January, and we're praying about it, and we're fasting about it, and we're reading scripture, and we're worshiping together as a church family. If we walk through this vision, process, test together, when we get through this next few weeks, we are going to be helping one another. The scripture is going to be illuminating to us. We're going to feel conviction about some things. So I want to encourage you to step out. And if maybe the only thing you can do at this point is just commit to getting here next Sunday, which would be great. Get here next Sunday. Next Sunday, we're going to be giving you more tools on how to pray. And what does fasting mean? What does that look like? And how does it work? And a way to read the Bible. If you're brand new to reading the Bible and you aren't able to afford one, we want to give you one for free today. You can go and check in as you leave and just take one and keep it forever. Give it to somebody else or whatever. There's also tons of online free apps and websites to read the Bible, to study, to go deeper. Next week, we'll be giving you a list of small groups that you can join. These are smaller groups of community people in the church that are walking through life together, helping one another, praying with one another, asking each other questions. These are all important pieces to the vision test. And sometimes it just takes a process. It takes a while. And these things, these disciplines that I'm talking about, are not the end goal. It's not like, I read the Bible every day this year. That's a star on my chest. Yeah. That's a great thing, but that's not the goal. The goal is that if you do read the Bible, that the Bible is going to speak to you, and it will teach you, it will exhort you, it will encourage you, it will convict you of something that maybe you're not doing, or maybe something you should stop doing. Through these processes, I'm just praying and believing that as a community, our vision just goes shoo. And every single one of us are on mission in 2020 because we all see the power that each and every one of us have, that it's not just up to Robin to bring the light, but everybody in here is going to different places and different pockets, just like that little video showed. You're going out into dark places and you're going to be the light. You're going to be the overlap. So it's a challenging thing. It's kind of a fun thing. You can make it a fun thing. It doesn't have to be scary, because if this thing works, Jesus is with you. The power of the Holy Spirit is going before you. And it can be like, Lord, what's going to happen today? And when you get bad news, you're like, God, I love this example. You get a big bill in the mail that you can't pay. What do you say? God, you got mail today. Right? This one's yours. I can't handle this one. Everything is, how does this overlap? A diagnosis, a celebration, whatever it may be. Lord, you're doing something in this moment. And heaven and earth can be together right here. Lord, I don't see how, but Lord, this is my one focus, is that your kingdom come, your will be done. I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and your righteousness. I'm not worried about the things that are going to be added to me later. I'm just focused on how you and I can be together right now. Would you stand to your feet right now? I want to pray with you. If you'll just simply bow your heads and close your eyes. some of you, as I'm talking, there might have been some triggers of some things you know right now that are in your vision that are just wearing you down and troubling you and so tough and so difficult. There's things in your life that you know immediately, Lord, I've been so preoccupied with this. Here's the thing, you know, after we get through this month, we're going to have this big celebration in February, and we're going to have a big baptism service the first Sunday in February, and so we're going to be baptizing so many of you guys that have not been baptized before, and it's going to be awesome. It's going to be great, but listen, you're probably going to be working the same job. You're going to be married to the same person. You're going to be living in the same house, and there's going to be so many things about you that are the same, but it's going to be different because your vision is different about those things, about those postures and positions. Would you bow your heads with me? Let's pray right now. If you just join with me, just say, let's just say this. Lord, I want to live in that overlap. Lord, I want to live in the place where heaven and earth are together. Jesus, I want to live with you. You're the power, you're the strength, you're the source of heaven. I want to be with you, Jesus. Would you just tell him that right now? Just maybe you're not used to praying or you don't know what to say. You just say, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to live in 2020 with you in your space, not mine by myself. Lord, I want to be where heaven and earth come together. In Jesus' name. Please forgive me of all the things I've done that are not right. Would you just confess that sin with me right now? Lord, I'm a sinner. I've done things in this world. I've done things in this sphere of earth that's just not right. And I want you to know I'm not happy about it. It's embarrassing, and I ask for your forgiveness. I need a Savior, Jesus. And I trust that you are my Savior. I trust in you, Jesus Christ. Would you just confess your faith in him right now? Just say, Jesus, I trust in you and not myself. I trust in you, Jesus, and not my job. I trust in you, Jesus, and not my paycheck. I trust in you, Jesus, and not my retirement, my 401k. I trust in you, Jesus, not my ability to make people laugh or to make people like me. I trust in you. I trust in you, Jesus. I put my faith and my trust in you. I look with laser focus toward 2020, the kingdom of God. Would you, this is a prayer that everybody can pray in here today, right now. It's just, Lord, speak to me. Over the next few days, over the next few weeks, Lord, speak to me with clarity. I'm listening. I want to hear what you have to say, even if I don't like it. I want to hear what you have to say. Speak to me, Lord. Your servant is listening. We're going to go into several weeks of just focused consecration before you, God. And we want you to speak. We want to hear the voice of God. And we want to remove every distraction and everything in our life that's not of you. We're excited about what that means, what that looks like on a daily basis. In Jesus' name. Come on, everybody say, in Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah, clap your hands. That's awesome. That's good. Just remain standing. I want to dismiss you in a second, but before I do, I want to let you know, if you are ready to make your next steps with God, and you're here today and you say, I'm ready right now, I want to encourage you to get back here today at 5 o'clock. We're going to have a dinner next door. It only lasts 1 hour. We're going to take care of your kids. If you want to bring them, bring them. And we'll have childcare provided, and we'll sit down with you one-on-one and get on a first-name basis and just answer any questions you may have about the church, any questions you may have about God, about me, whatever you need. We'll try to answer it and help you take your next steps with Jesus in 2020. If you can't make it tonight, but you really do want to connect, there's a couple of other things you can do. You can either text the word next to that number you see on the screen, or you can take out an old-fashioned piece of paper in the seat back in front of you. It says connect card. Fill out that connect card and just place it in the black boxes as you leave out of the doors, and we'll connect with you this week. But may the Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you until we see you again next Sunday. Bring somebody with you. Let's invite folks, and let's just fill up the place next Sunday. We love you. You're dismissed. Have a wonderful week.